I guarantee you Nick Foligno walks the course because he's in great shape.
He is in great shape, but he's getting up there. You know, he's been around the league for a while. I wonder if he just hates the idea of working out. Like,
Not a chance. That guy's in great shape. He doesn't hate working out.
Why wouldn't you hate? There's nothing wrong with admitting that you hate working out. Doesn't make. I think it makes you even more of a pro because you made it. You got, you know, you work. Here's a longtime NHLer, former Leaf. He's with the Bruins. Back on the show, here's Nick Foligno. Be honest with us, Nick. Do you hate working out in the summer, or do you actually have an appreciation for it?
I love it, actually. But I will say that I hate walking the golf course, so I'll definitely take a card any day of the week.
Yes.
So when you're retired, do you think you'll be working out?
Mostly because I got to walk from tree to find my ball, so I'd rather just take a card and try to find it that way.
What about when you're done playing? Do you think you'll still be workout guy?
Yeah, I think so. Well, first of all, my wife already put the death ride in, like the death act. If I get fat, then I'm in trouble. So, and I'm already bald, so I gotta stay in good shape here. You know, kind of important. But
bald and fat is tough.
That's two strikes. Is that what you're saying?
Italian, so I like my pasta. I like my wine. It's dangerous. That's why I gotta stay on top of it so I can enjoy it.
No, that's the truth. I mean, I always appreciated guys who are like, no, I hate working out. Like if I could, and they're basically what they're telling you is the second they retire, they are going to balloon, right? Like they have no interest of staying in shape.
It's funny to watch some guys, and who knows what I'll be like, but I think I'm too vain. I'm going to want to at least stay in decent shape. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Easy to say now.
Yeah. So when you do golf, like O just suggested, some guy owns a surfboard and surfs around 18. If you got paired with someone and he had a surfboard on wheels and that's how he decided to operate.
But it carries your bag too.
No, I know that. But
well, that's pretty solid.
Would you be cool with that or would you say, I got to find a new partner? Like I can't be spotted with you on that surfboard.
That's a little tough. I mean, it's a little tough. But depends on where. I mean, if you're out in L.A. golfing, I mean, it's kind of... If you're in northern Ontario where I'm from, Sudbury, surfboard's a little tough. A little tough.
Yeah, I don't know if you're pulling that off in Sudbury.
Need like a miner's bucket. You know, like a miner's bucket.
If you had a surfboard, it might be a fist fight afterwards in Sudbury. You never know. It's pretty gritty there, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. There would be no drinks after the round. It'd be like, get me away from this guy.
Can you touch on how good of a spot Columbus, Ohio is for a golf destination? I played some golf there. There's like Memorial, there's Scioto, the golf club. Like there is some unreal places to play golf in Columbus.
Yeah, you know what? You nailed it. Like it's sneaky, really, really good golfing. And like so many guys, when they've, you know, that come to play, they end up joining Mirfield or Scioto. And they're just like, they're obsessed with it. You know, I know Scott Hartnell was like instantly when he got there was, you know, joined Mirfield, gunning in. And it's incredible. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not a huge golfer, but I became one just by being there just because you have to. There's just so many good courses. Like you said, the golf club is one that I don't think a lot of people know about. And then even our owner, he owns one of the top 100 private courses in the country called Double Eagle. And it barely gets played. You know, this like Wayne Gretzky's a member. They got this unbelievable tiki hut on 14 that when the pirate ship, when the pirate flag's up, it means it's open and you can go there. And a lot of guys don't end up finishing their rounds. So that's a good story Wayne had there. He never finished a round. But it's a really cool, really cool spot.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. You get up to the tiki hut and Gretzky's sitting there like, I guess we're not playing anymore. Let's just kind of hang out.
Guaranteed. Not a lot of guys make it through, that's for sure. If that pirate flag's flying, it's usually the end of your round. So
that's
a lot of fun.
That's
but yeah, amazing place to play golf. And I mean, you know, the Memorial Tournament, even being there, it's an incredible time. So it's definitely, like you said, a sneaky, really good golf town. And, you know, a lot of guys definitely go there as a place to play for sure.
We're chatting with Nick Foligno of the Boston Bruins. So you've been playing in the East, you know, your whole career, and you're familiar with these Lightning, man. You were a part of that team that shocked the world when they got swept, and you've been in the East with the Leafs last year, obviously Boston this year. How much of an appreciation do you have for what they're accomplishing? They've won 10 playoff rounds in a row. That is third all time. I know, you know, again, you've been on the right side of it, playing them a few years ago, and not necessarily up directly against them, but, you know, what do you make of what they've accomplished here over the last couple of years and what they continue to do?
Well, I just remember playing them in that the series that we beat them and, you know, and really frustrating them and kind of breaking down, you know, a lot of what they were about, you know, and I think it really, you know, shocked them in the sense that they were that quick out of the playoffs after having a storied year, right? I think they had like the highest points in a long time or maybe the most in regular season. I can't remember. But what impressed me the most was the following year, how they addressed their weaknesses and even the mental toughness that they had to have to overcome that. And we ended up playing them again in that bubble, and they were like a completely different team in one year. And I was so impressed by that because sometimes, you know, you don't know how it shapes a team, especially in a year like that where the year was kind of messed up. And they just seemed to understand who they are and what they did wrong. And they you know, they tacked, and it was impressive. Like they were a complete. I remember playing them and being like, "Whoa, these guys are a lot more stiff. They're a lot more battle hardened." And I think they've really found the recipe of what it is that makes them good. And you can see it. Like they've all bought in. You know, I was watching them the other day. I mean, I hate watching playoffs when you get out, but you know, you're watching guys block shots. And don't get me wrong, Vasilevskiy is incredible, but just the attention to detail that team seems to have, and the pieces that are in there that have been there for a while, have really understood what's made them successful. And they're playing to that, and they're confident, obviously. So it's a testament to that group. I mean, you hate to play against them, but they've done it right for a long time now.
In your opinion, Nick, who is the head of the snake of that Tampa team? Is it the goalie?
Ooh.
Is it Kucherov? Is it Stamkos? Is it Point? Like, who is the headman? I mean, if you're going to cut the head off the snake, who would it be?
I don't know. Is it like a five-headed snake? Is that, you know?
It might be.
And that's what I think, duh, I really do. Like, you know, I would, to be honest with you, I'd say, like, Point's their engine, man. Like, he's their motor. You know, he just never stops. He's an Energizer's bunny, and he, you know, the way he plays. And then he goes out, and they dismantle Florida, you know? So how do you, it's crazy. And I think they just, they know who they are so well. They're confident in what they've achieved and you know, who can step in. And I don't think they try to, you know, be something they're not. I think that's what they've learned. You know, there's a recipe that they have, and they stick to it, and they believe in themselves. And the guys play that identity. And I think they've brought in pieces that really fit that mold and who they want to be. So, you know, it's a testament to them, and it's on us to try and break that up. And hopefully we can do that. And we'll see what happens the rest of the playoffs. But it's impressive. I mean, look at Vasilevskiy. Anytime the going gets tough, I mean, every loss, he bounces back with a win. I mean, that's impressive in itself just by a goalie. I mean, you know, we all know how important goaltending is, and, you know, you see that. He proves it night in and night out a lot of times in the playoffs. It's an impressive record he's on right now.
Well, Nick, you talk about the team that you're on right now, and, you know, at the start of the season, I think there were a lot of people that were like, hey, there's some turnover there with Krejci not coming back. You know, Tuukka Rask wasn't available. He ends up retiring. And is it a culture thing in Boston that everyone kind of conforms to? I mean, is Bergeron the guy that kind of sets the pace, or Marchand? I've talked to a few guys that have played for the team, and they just said how everyone's so disciplined, everyone kind of falls into line, and they're a very hardworking group.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I saw as soon as I got here. I mean, there's just a standard, and then they really don't dip below it. And if they do, it's addressed quickly. And, you know, and I know early on we kind of struggled, but there was just a lot of new faces I don't think this team was used to be honest with you. I mean, they've had a lot of the same players for a lot of years. And, you know, there was just so many guys coming in. And I think it took a while for us to all find our footing. And, you know, there was injuries. There was COVID. It was kind of wild early on. But what I think was so evident through it all was just the culture that you talked about here, the leadership group and kind of being a little bit of a part of it. It was so neat how they gathered themselves. We gathered ourselves. We you know, we found a way forward, and I think we were one of the better teams down the stretch from January on. So, you know, that's just who they are here. There's such a standard set by Bergie, and honestly, Marchand's like the motor here as well. And, you know, you got Pasternak in the next wave, like Charlie McAvoy, who's a stud defenseman, and Brandon Carlo. The kind of list goes on of these guys that have been around and seen it from Char on out. And there's just, you know, there's such a culture and a belief here that as well that, you know, they know they're a good team. And they, you know, we've been a 100-point team for a lot of years here. So they expect to do well. And it was unfortunate the way it ended because, you know, I think we felt like it was a series that we just needed to find one way to win a road game, and who knows, especially seeing him play on. But you know, there's a lot of growth, I think, on this team, and now we feel like we're that unit that we expected to be at the beginning, and we're looking forward to going into the next season with that.
Chatting with Nick Foligno of the Boston Bruins, and obviously you go into an offseason, you never really know what could possibly change, but you know, the main ingredients of that Bruins team are likely going to return, and it feels as if a similar thing is going to happen up here in Toronto, and you guys had the same fate. You know, you both lost in Game 7, both really good teams, both had high expectations. You're familiar with, you know, the big boys up here in Toronto and the idea of them running it back. You know, how much confidence can you take in that when an executive, whether it's Neely, you know, Shanahan, whoever it is committed to that? Like, even though it didn't work for your team, the idea that there's belief that it will work down the road, if you're a part of that team and that type of confidence is being sent your way, what's the reaction like in the room?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, I think you feel it from the guys, right? Everyone's so disappointed after you lose. And, you know, you're first of all, you're kind of rehashing, as you guys know, like, okay, what went on, what went wrong. But then as you kind of sort through it, you start to come to terms, okay, you know, maybe there's some things that we can fix and be better, but, you know, it's there. You know, you're not a 100-point team in this league by accident. And, you know, it's crazy, actually, in the East, how many there were. It's just nuts, the parity in the league now. It's just insane. But it still shows you how good an elite of a team you are to be in that mix. And I think that's where you take confidence in the fact that the management knows that. They believe in you. They're going to maybe, you know, figure out what they can do to address some areas. And then, you know, it's on us as players to make sure we make good on it. And I think that's, you know, probably the Tampa Bay. You know, you can use that as an example. The core, they could have easily blown out. Even Washington, all those years knocking on the door, and they finally break through that one year. You know, I think that's what you want as a management, that, you know, a belief in your core and who you are. And if you're part of that core, then you're going to do whatever it takes to try and make good on the, you know, the respect that you've been given from management. So I think a lot of guys feel good about, you know, we feel like we had a great year and we should have done more. So there's a bad taste in the mouth of a lot of Bruins players. And, you know, no one's happy. I don't think anyone, you know, after a series is like, oh, you know, I had my guy, I feel good. When you lose, it's every guy wants more. When you're not winning the Stanley Cup, there's still more to give. There's more to do as a team. So I think every guy's taking that upon themselves that they're here and making sure we have a good summer to come back and be that team we envision, and then taking that step that we need to take to overcome the obstacles that we had this year.
Yep, we look forward to seeing how all of that plays out. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs and the offseason, Nick, and we'll do this again down the road. Really appreciate you taking time for us.
Thanks a lot, guys. It's always good to chat. Appreciate it.
Got it. There's Nick Foligno, the Boston Bruins, former Leaf, Maple Leaf alumni, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota, and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's Red Tag Days. Visit MapleToyota.com.
I had a former Leaf inquire about an alumni jacket.
Really?
Disclose who it was. Through a mutual friend, New Wave Dave.
Is that right?
Was it Ugly Face?
No. He's already got one, I think.
I would think so.
I would hope so. I mean, he is affiliated with another team now, but I saw that actually. There was Leafs TV was running through like an old footage of, remember when Brett Lindros used to host a show on that?
Yeah, it wasn't an NHLPA.
Yeah, it was an NHLPA. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that would have played wherever it was. And
be Abram, a player.
Yeah, be a player show. Yeah.
That's right. They'd interview all the different, you know, they'd have like one question of the week, and they'd interview different players around practices around the NHL.
I was on that show.
Yeah,
I was too.
There
it
you
was
go.
Fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Caber was like a feature item in this, and they were down by the docks, like hitting golf balls. Caber was spraying them everywhere.
I'm telling you, the worst swing you've ever seen in your life.
Like Charles Barkley type of thing?
Yeah, worse. He hits his driver 128 yards with a fade.
Yeah,
and he's like he's so strong.
Yeah,
but he just can't. Like he just, it's like his arms are attached to his body, and he can't make a backswing.
Yeah,
wow.
No joke. 140 yard driver, Brian McCabe.
Yeah,
like strong as an ox.
Yeah,
he is a beauty in that. It's,
you guys have seen the build on him with his khakis and the golf shirt.
Oh yeah, McCabe is still, he's a big dude. Like.
Do you remember the scene he put on walking into that bar in, what was it, in Chicago?
He was wearing
a golf shirt and khaki pants, and he was jammed into both of them. Like, was...
There was a tight tuck on both ends.
Yeah, tight tuck.
And he was a late arrival, and he came in hot. It was great to see
him. I wonder what the salad is like now. He has got to be hanging on for dear. I'm going to tell him to send me a picture.
No, it is so...
I'm going to get a pick, and we'll get Joe from the bridge to put it up.
Yeah,
him and Strutty are neck and neck, I think. It's turkey for those guys, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to have to wear the helmet and go on the flight, I'm pretty sure.
That'd be a great trip. Can you imagine that, getting a photo with Brian McCabe on your way back from Turkey?
You know, and you all have the head wrap on.
Yeah. Selfies. You know.
You're in the middle, and on the left is Strutty, and on the right is Brian McCabe, and all three of you got the head wrap on.
It would be just an awesome picture. Like, what a picture that would be. That's a boys' trip.
Yeah.
Quick, you know, jaunt into Istanbul for a
Istanbul for 18 and a new salad. What a weekend.
What a weekend. Istanbul for 18 and a new salad. And
Istanbul Country Club and a new salad up top.
Yep.
I would love it.
I would love it.
I might be there eventually.
I think we're all moving in that direction. Let's be honest.
Yeah, but O's got a big thick. You're just gonna be like O's. Just gonna be gray. Like, you're gonna be.
I'm already there, bud.
You've got a thick head of hair. Like, you're not gonna.
My
go
hair ain't going anywhere.
Same with Hayes. It's starting to fade a little bit back.
Yeah,
back
you're
the
probably
comb
the.
Over.
Contender, you know, representing
yes.
the show.
Oh,
right
for
now.
Sure, for sure. Yeah. But I'm 3 years or 4 years older than O, mm-hmm. and Hayes, I'm like 13 years older than you, so it doesn't matter. Like,
I mean, that's the thing. Give me some time, I might catch up. The hair is the one thing, you know, I need to hold on for dear life. The weight, I don't know. The weight, I guess, is under my control, but we'll see what
somewhat.
Happens.
Somewhat.
I'm inspired now by Nick Foligno. You know, he enjoys working out, and he wants to continue to work. You just got to be wired that way, you know? Like, you just got it. Some people, it doesn't matter. They'd be so hungover in Vegas, they get up and go for a run at 6:30 in the morning. You know, it's how you're wired. Yeah, exactly. Like, it happened. I'm not wired that way. And I never, you don't all of a sudden become wired that way either. Right?
No.
You don't hit 40 or 50 and say, oh, now I'm marathon on New Year's Day guy.